You're listening to the Volleyball by Design podcast. Got a little bit of an interesting episode. You know, I had a coach come to one of my practices and shared something very interesting with me that got me thinking. And the thoughts that I had were talking about structure, discipline, practice, organization, and how a certain element of our practices have such a huge play in winning games, in the success of your program. And it's a conversation I want to bring to the pod. So this episode won't be a long one, but it's something that I think is really important. And it's more of a realization and a reflection for coaches to go through and ask yourself, is this how your gyms are? Anyways, this is an episode you definitely don't want to miss. Stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Coach Brian Singh, and after a number of years coaching competitive volleyball and as the head coach of the biggest college in Canada, I've become obsessed with helping coaches improve their knowledge and skills of the game by teaching them how to coach efficiently and effectively to ultimately reach their volleyball goals. I created the Volleyball by Design podcast to give you simple, actionable, step-by-step strategies so you can get clarity and apply what you learn right away. This is the Volleyball by Design podcast.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to episode 196 of the Volleyball by Design podcast. How is everyone doing out there today? For my new listeners, welcome to the podcast. My name is Coach Brian Singh. I'm the host of the podcast. And for my regular listeners, as always, thank you so much for tuning into another episode where the goal, just like every week, is to deliver tangible, step-by-step strategies that you can apply to your gym and see results right away. And I'm hoping today we are able to do that for you. But before we get into this episode, just want to read a review that we got on the podcast. I love anytime I get a chance to read reviews, and I always forget to read them. So when I remember to read them, I want to bring it to you because I really appreciate all the reviews that you guys give me on the podcast. So this one is from OK Awesome from Canada. Thanks. OK Awesome. Yeah, that's what it is. OK Awesome. It says, great wisdom for all aspects of the game. 5 stars. The podcast has a great format and a wealth of practical wisdom. I'm a rookie coach and lucky to have senior coaches in the club I can consult. But this podcast reveals questions I wouldn't even know to ask about on my own. It's really helped me form my identity and approach as I started out in this first season of mine. Well, listen, thank you so much for that feedback and that review. I appreciate it. And you know what? Just that comment is such a cool comment because it goes back to what I tell a lot of coaches that I mentor in DVA is it's true. Sometimes you wouldn't even know to ask the questions because unless you're exposed to different conversations, to listening to different coaches speak, like this podcast, for example, if you're in other coaches' gyms, you wouldn't even know situations that would present itself unless you're there. And this is why I always tell coaches, don't go at coaching volleyball by yourself. And it doesn't matter what coach you are. You could be a college coach, a high school coach, a club coach, or basketball, volleyball. It doesn't matter. If you're a coach thinking that you are going to have growth by yourself, that growth is going to be so minimal to what it could be relative to whether you had help or not. And when I say help, it could mean, you know, discussing with fellow colleagues, like fellow coaches in your league or in other areas around the world or whatever. It can mean joining a volleyball coach's mentorship, like what I have that I run. It can mean taking courses, going to symposiums and volleyball coaches clinics. Like, you gotta do this kind of stuff because the more you do it, the more clarity you're gonna get, and the more like this, you know, this review said is questions you wouldn't even know to ask. And even me, you know, I've been doing this for, you know, 17, 18 years as a recording of this day. And even I'm still learning a ton. I think of questions all the time that I would have never thought of if I wasn't around the game. So, man, coaches, I encourage you. I really, really encourage you to don't go at this by yourself, you know? I'll have conversations with some of my former players who are, you know, playing pro overseas all around the world. And my number one question that I ask them all the time when I get on the phone with them, I'm like, what did you learn this season? Like, what have you learned this week? Do you have any new skills or any new things that your coach has taught you? And I'm excited to learn about what they're learning around the world. And that's what helps me grow as a coach. So yeah, don't go at it by yourself because you never know what's going to come your way. So appreciate the comment. Okay, awesome. I appreciate that. And I encourage all of you coaches that listen to the podcast, that enjoy it. If you haven't done so, please leave a review. Whatever podcast app you use, leave a review. Let me know what you think. Give me a rating. You know, there's a way to rate it out of 5 stars. I really appreciate it. And you know what? It just helps also boost the show. It provides the show and it provides the podcast platforms, you know, more info, more data. So they make the show rank higher in the charts. And that way it gets to more people. And the more people it gets to, the more people that can listen and the more people it can help. So it's a win-win for everybody. So yeah, I really appreciate that. And let's dive into the reason that I want to talk about today's episode. So I had, so as many of you know, I coach a high school team, one high school team a year. And I might actually take on more of that given my current situation, stepping down from coaching college ball for now. And I remember I had a meeting after school. We had a practice. You know, we had a practice at 3:15, but I had a meeting that I had to attend to that I forgot I had. So I asked a staff member if they can step in just to supervise. And I went to my meeting. My meeting lasted. It went a little bit over time. And I just told my captain, hey, I got a meeting after school. I'm going to have a staff member there just to supervise. I need you to run the practice in the meantime. Do X, Y, and Z, which is our normal stuff that we do anyways. So I came out of my meeting. I went to the gym right away, and my players were doing what they were supposed to be doing. I saw them doing a drill, and they were dialed in, and it was great. So I went over to the staff member, who's also a coach too. He's a basketball coach, by the way. And he came to me, he's like, I don't know what you done, but these guys are like a machine. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, I just showed up, and they got the net set up. They got everything going. They were changed. They started their warm-up. I didn't say anything, and they were dialed in. After they did their warm-up, they did a drill, like a warm-up drill, and when they did this warm-up drill, you would think they were competing for like a championship, and they transitioned to this other drill that they were going to do, and then that's when I showed up, and he's like, I've never seen that before, and it got me thinking, because to me, that's normal. Like, I can't imagine having it any other way. Like, if I'm not there, my players know what the expectation is, they know what their job is, and they better do it. And if they're not doing it, then they're not doing their job. Like, they're not being a true active member of our team right now if they don't do that. It's like, it's an expectation and a standard. And he was taken back by, like, he's never seen a team that operates that way. So it got me thinking. And I, you know, given my position in the volleyball community and in my career right now, I've had the luxury of going into hundreds and hundreds of gyms, from coaches that I mentor to coaches that mentor me and things like that. And I believe that there is a correlation with what I'm about to talk about and the success of your program, the success of your wins and things like that, in terms of structure, intention, and discipline. And these are the three words that I want to use because they're important: structure, intention, and discipline. And the reason these three words go together is because, one, you need to have structure in your practice. You need it. And structure could be from writing a practice plan on a whiteboard, writing a practice plan by yourself, having a structure where the athletes know what to expect when they step into practice and when they leave. You need to have your players respect that process. Respect and have discipline. And when I say discipline is they respect the process where they're disciplined to executing that process. And then intention is they know that when they step on that floor, when they're practicing, they're doing it intentionally. They're doing it with an intention, with a conviction of making sure that they're maximizing that opportunity. And that is an expectation that I have in all my gyms. So, you know, you look at the pros. When I got a chance to go into pro gyms, athletes that are there are coming to work. That is their job. And they are professionals at that job. and they take their work seriously. So intention, structure, discipline, it's already there because they're working. And they go in, and the level of professionalism that I see is incredible. They get, they're on time, they're changed, they're warming up, they're embodying the team culture, and they're just doing it at a high class. When you go into college gyms, now I wouldn't say all college gyms, but the ones that are good, your top college schools, same thing. Nobody's late. The structure is there. They know their job. They're not like when the coach does, says something, they listen. It's amazing. And it's like a machine. They operate in a way where they get the job done. And then I go to some club and high school gyms. And this is where his message really hit home. Is when I walk into certain gyms, and this is not a knock on coaches, by the way, and this is not a knock on you guys either listening to this, but this is where I want you to ask yourself if this is how your gym operates. So when I go into certain high school and college gym or club gyms, I'll see some players are changed, ready to go. Some players aren't. I'll see some players are warming up. Some players are. And mind you, like this is like, let's say practice started at 6 o'clock and it's 6:05. And I see some players are warming up. Some players aren't. Some players are still on their phone. Some players are taking their time. Like, mind you, practice starts at 6 and some players are still taking their time to get ready to go. The coach hasn't said anything yet. The coach is just waiting for them to do it or waiting for majority of the players to be ready or something like that. Then the coach will blow the whistle to come in. Some of them take their own time. Some of them hustle in. You know, some of them are still trying to get the last hit over the net or last serve in or some of them is saying, hey, set me one more time after the coach has blown the whistle. Okay. These are things that I'm noticing. Okay. When they're warming up, some of them are taking it seriously. Some of them aren't. Some of them are, you know, they're talking amongst their friends, but you can tell they're not executing the warm-up to their full potential, to their full conviction, to their full intention. It's not happening. And then again, some of them are, okay? And then by the time that trickles in, when they get into actually working on the skills, then I would say 80 to 90% of them are now starting to take it more seriously. Some of them aren't. There are gaps and moments where they're not, and there are gaps and moments where they are. And then they get into scrimmage or whatever the coach decides to do next is what they do. And then it got me thinking of correlating to success. So I looked into the gyms that I recognized that in, the gyms that I saw that behavior, without intention, without structure, or without consistent intention and consistent structure and consistent discipline. Versus the teams that I described earlier, the professionals, the college, the high level teams that had that. I do the exact math, but I can tell you with 100% certainty that the teams that had the discipline, intention, and structure were more successful in the wins column, were more successful in the culture column, had the least amount of turnover, and the best player experiences. Versus the teams without that structure, without that intention. And what's interesting too is as I was coming to this realization was the coaches, a lot of the coaches that have these programs that don't have the structure and intention are not even aware of it. And when I asked them, like, and again, I'm not calling out coaches, so don't worry about this, but when I would do debriefs after, when I would talk to coaches, they're not even aware that there's no discipline or structure. They're not aware of it. They think that there is. And again, I have a different perspective. Obviously, I'm experienced and I see it, but they're not even aware of it. So my first lesson on this episode is self-awareness and court aware, real, like just a, being aware of how your behavior, how your structure, your practices are, have a direct correlation to the success of your team and to your wins. And I did the research. It was more primary data, like my own research, not research out there. I looked into teams that I noticed where there was a lapse in structure and intention discipline versus the other teams that weren't. And I saw the difference, and it was clear as crystal. It was right there. So I even looked at my high school team, the high school team that I took to the finals. And again, okay, now I'm going to have to talk about myself, which is weird, but then again, I'm not trying to sound like I'm the greatest or anything like that, but this high school team that I got to coach this year, I don't know, I think I talked about it on the pod, is a high school boys varsity team. Not one single player in the starting lineup plays club volleyball. Club volleyball, okay? They just play high school volleyball. That's it. And that's limited to like 3 months of the year, by the way. The rest of the time that they play volleyball is like drop-ins and pickup, which is not organized ball, but it's good touches. And we were able to take that team to the finals. And we lost to a team where the entire starting lineup was club players. And we could have taken that team to five, by the way. And I look and when I reflect on that, yes, okay. I am a high-level coach. I will say that, fine. Do I know the game better than majority of the high school coaches that I compete against? Yes. I'm not saying that to sound arrogant. It's just a reality and the truth. So I will give myself a little bit of an advantage in the sense that I will probably develop them better than other high school coaches because of my experience. But that is not the reason or the entire reason why we're able to get to the finals. Because here is something that's interesting, and here's how I came to that realization. We were not an undefeated team this season. We lost one game for that high school boys team, okay? The one game we lost is when I wasn't there on the bench. I couldn't be there. I think it was a college game I had that same night, and I couldn't be there, so I had a staff member step in, and we lost. And we lost to a team that we shouldn't have lost to. And I do believe it was partially because I wasn't there, because there was no accountability. Now, that's going against what I'm saying right now, but that I just want to show you that they weren't perfect. They sound like they were great. There was a lot of things I had to work on, but I was still able to take them to the finals. And when that coach said that to me about they're a machine, that's what got me thinking about this whole episode in the first place. And this was, by the way, this didn't happen recently. This happened a while ago, and I believe that. Because they have no club experience, they listened to what I said, they followed the culture, they embodied the culture, they had the intention, they had the structure, that discipline, that the way they played in games is the way that they treated practice. And I had a coach on my staff this year that preached that to our players. The way you play in practice, the way that you approach practice, the way that you prepare for practice, the way that how your intentions at practice, you can't just turn that switch on in a game. And it's true. You play the way you play in games the same way you play in practice. And this has nothing to do with skill. This has everything to do with intention, structure, and discipline. So with the coaches that were, you know, they didn't have this in their gym. And when I talked to them and they started realizing it, they started changing it, and it started working. But things to look out for are like players taking their own time to come in, players not knowing what to do in practice, the seriousness that players are approaching. Now, I'm not saying it's like, you know, we're on a, you know, an assembly line and you got to be like a factory of workers here. No, obviously you have to have fun and you have to enjoy it and, you know, have an experience with your teammates and talk and have fun. Yeah. You can do all that. You can do all that while having structure and intention and discipline, okay? So that is the biggest thing that I wanted to get across on this podcast is it doesn't matter what sport you play or what the case is. You as a coach have to have that structure, have that intention, have that discipline, and hold everybody to that standard and make sure that you don't drop the ball on day one of practice to day 58 of practice, that you hold that standard of excellence in your gym. Because that's what I did with my high school team. And I do believe that's a big reason why we're able to win is because of that. And one other thing that I really recommend you doing is sometimes players need to see what that looks like at the highest level too. So if you have an opportunity to take your team, some players, to a college practice or a high-level practice, reach out to the coach and say, hey, we'd like to just watch a practice. I'd like to take my club team or high school team just to watch a practice. I can't imagine a college coach saying no to that, because our job as college coaches is to embody that, bring community players in and let them see what it looks like and create that community of volleyball players and coaches, and let them see what a serious practice looks like. Because sometimes it takes them to see it to then be able to embody that. Because some of my high school players will come out to my practices to observe and watch, and those same players are the ones that were driving that intention in practice. So that did also play a role in that. And I wouldn't have they wouldn't have got a chance to see what that looks like if they didn't come. They would only get to take my word and stuff like that. So it was, you know what, like, I know I'm speaking a lot here about a lot. I'm going all over the map here, and I am deviating from my notes. But the message I want to share with you is that this stuff matters. Intention, structure, discipline, and practice matters. When you blow that whistle, or when you say to come in, and they take their own time to come in, or they want to get that last bump in, or that last serve in, or that last attack in, that is not respectful. That is disrespectful. That is a lack of discipline. And if they can do that in practice, then that is the same type of thing that they're going to be like, oh, I'll get the next point. That's that same type of mentality. If you're doing a drill and they're half-assing it, or they're not taking every single one of those reps seriously, you know, that's what's going to trend. And I've seen it in my college gym too. And you see it in games. That translates the game, because that one ball that trickles over the net that they refuse to get because it's not going to happen as often in a game, that's your game point. And that's what you just lost because you didn't take it seriously in practice. So really and truly, be showing up on time matters. You know, taking your warm-up seriously matters. Strolling in at your own pace, not having no intention, not having accountability matters. Not coming in when the coach calls them, and like that, all that stuff matters. And coaches, you know, I know you know what I'm talking about too. I know this is not a surprise to you, but I want you to be aware of this and don't drop the ball in practice. Hold them all accountable. Don't for a second let it go once when you blow your whistle and they kind of come in and then you're like, okay, I'll get it next time. Don't do that. I'm guilty of that too sometimes, by the way. And my assistant coaches have to be on me sometimes, where they'll be like, wait a minute, he allowed that? And they'll have to be like, what are you doing? And I'll be like, yeah, you know what? I missed it. Sorry. And I address it right away. So that's the message. That's the message for today's podcast. Okay. Simple, not a lot of strategies, but a big strategy. This is actually a big strategy and a big point to take home. And if you're a college coach listening to this, I'm sure this is just reaffirming what you do in practice, because I'm telling you, based on my research, there is a correlation between this and success and wins and a successful program. There is no doubt about that in my mind. So keep doing that if you are doing that. And if you're not, start doing it and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Okay? That's it for me. If you guys are interested in learning more about this type of stuff, about what to do in practice, like what are the expectations, what are players should be doing, what should they be behaving like, I got a lot of trainings on this inside DVA. Head on over to digitalvolleyballacademy.com. Hit the link in the show notes as well if you want to get more information on that. We talk about this stuff a lot in DVA. But I wanted to bring it to the pod because it's really important. All right, that's it for me. I'll see you guys next week on another episode of the Volleyball by Design podcast. Take care.
All right, cue the music. Look, are you at the stage you want to be in your volleyball journey? How would it feel to get clarity on your training, and instead of taking months to get better, you could improve in weeks, if not days? When I was a young coach and player, I felt this way all the time. The truth is, after I got some great advice on how to be efficient, my learning curve grew exponentially. Let me show you how to be more efficient and effective in this game. I invite you to check out CoachBTraining.com for more resources that you can use to take your game to the next level. I look forward to helping you reach your volleyball goals.